To be more involved with the pastors and the churches in central Wisconsin. And then a couple of years ago, they changed the structure, and I was given an opportunity to do something different for the district. And I said, no, that's not who I am. That's not how I'm wired. That's not how I'm gifted. And I said, could I continue to be a pastor to the pastors and a consultant and a helper to the churches in any way that I can and being led by God's Spirit? And I will just do it as God gives me strength and time, and whatever comes in is enough. And thank you as being one of my supporters, and I am one of your partners, and I have been busy as of late, and it's been good. And you wonder, well, what do I do? Well, about 10 days ago, I was here with a group of pastors, and I heard about the Woolers, who are now in Merrill, in the Pinecrest Nursing Home. Yes, ma'am. And I went to visit them last Tuesday, and I just want to thank you for those who went to visit them and say that they are getting better. I'm not sure if Dick, with his condition and his feet, will be able to go home, but I spent a good time with them. And as I was leaving, one of their sons was out in the foyer waiting for his family to come, and he thanked me for being willing to be a pastor to his parents during this difficult time. Our pastor back home, where I served as the senior pastor for 25 years, was going through a really rough time. About maybe 6-7 weeks ago, his father passed away. And then about 3 weeks later, his wife's father passed away. And during that time, I was able to fill in and do some weddings and do some funerals. And it's fun to watch the Holy Spirit work. You know, I met with a family to do a funeral. And as I was leaving, somebody shook my hand, and when I got done, there was a $100 bill on my hand. And I had a time with a pastor up in Wausau who was going through a really rough time and needed an encouragement, so I went up and I met with him, and we prayed together, and I talked with him. And as we were leaving of Perkins, I gave him the $100 bill, and I said, God gave me this to give to you, just to be an encouragement to you, and to watch him go to the counter and buy big muffins for his whole family, and he had a great smile on his face. So those are the kind of things God has given me to do, and I'm mentoring a new pastor who's never been a pastor, and he's 44. He tried it 20 years ago. It didn't work out, and now he's the pastor, and so I'm mentoring him and trying to help him along the way. Well, as I have been doing some of these things, one of the things I have done is been doing some more study on the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. And it has been good for me. I don't know how many have heard my story, and I don't have time to tell it all. But when I was in Bethel Seminary, and I was trying to figure out... excuse me, okay. There, maybe that'll hold. Trying to figure out what was going wrong. I had accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior in 1968. I was 32 years old. I'm an alcoholic. I had a wife and 4 children, and I tried to figure out, what does this all mean for me? And in the process of time, God led me to the University of Iowa. In the 60s, things were wild. I would have flunked out if they hadn't canceled school at midterm because of the riots and the breaking and all the stuff that was going on. Eventually, I ended up in Bethel Seminary, and it was 6 years into my time of trying to figure this out. Because I wasn't able to really walk away from some of the desires from the past. I hadn't had a drink in 6 years, but I wanted one every day. And I thought, this is not really working for me. And then I went and I spoke at a nursing home with 2 of my sons, and I didn't take speech very often. I took 1 class in my life at the University of Iowa, and I remembered as I was going, because I had done this before and it hadn't been working for me. And I said, I'm going to find somebody that I can speak to, and hopefully this will help me to just speak the word of God in such a way that God can do ministry, can touch lives. And when I went in, there was a lady down front, there was a circular chairs, and she was smiling at me before I even began to speak. And when I got done, I told my sons, you pick up the hymnals, the books, all the materials. I'm going to thank this lady and tell her how God used her to help me, because when I spoke, people listened, and there was tears, and I went down and I took her hand, and she looked up at me and she said, I'm deaf and couldn't hear a word you said. And that just blew me away, and I thought, what in the world has gone on here today? And I went home and I worked in a bakery nights as I was trying to support my family, and That afternoon, before I went and took a little nap, I just began to pray, and God led me to John 14, 15, and 16 about the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And that changed my life, and I am so glad. You know, I've been in Mozanie now 33 years, 25 as the senior pastor, and about 8 and a half now I've been serving as a minister to the ministers and to the churches, and it's been a good experience for me. As I think about my wife who's been struggling, my daughter who's a handicapped daughter who's been struggling, but God has continued to give me health, and next year I'll be 80, my wife will be 80, we'll be married 60, been in ministry 40 years, our baby will be 50, and I think, God, thank you for what you have done to take a person who just didn't have it together at all and give me the ability to work things through and to work things out and to become the person that I think God has enabled me to become. And I got long ways to go. But the message today is the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've given you an outline, and on that outline, there are many, many verses where you're not going to be able to get to them all. They'll be on the screen. But I want you to take this outline home if the Spirit leads you and just kind of go through this. Maybe some of you have this together. And there are times when I think I got it together and times when I don't. And then I need to take time to pray that the Holy Spirit would come into my life again and refresh me and restore me and enable me to sense His presence and His pleasure in my life. And I want that for you. And as I was here just about 10 days ago, and I heard about your campaign and your God saying, I want you to build this building out by the across from the Walmart, and I want it to be a testimony to my presence and my power and my love. And thank you for listening to the Spirit, because it was truly a Spirit-driven adventure. And this is going to be something. And I hope God gives me many years to watch and see what He's going to do. The role of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to think of Him today in three ways, as wind, as water, and as Spirit. Now, there's more ways that He's spoken of in the Bible, but I wanted you to think about this. And first of all, I want you to think of the fact that as we said this morning, and thank you, Kevin, for the songs, because they were so appropriate. I want you just to remind you, it's God in three persons, blessed Trinity. When I accepted Christ in 1968, it was in the church that didn't talk about the Holy Spirit much. And I think it was because they were afraid about what some churches were doing with the tongues and all that kind of stuff, and I didn't get it at all. But then I think, what happened in my life to enable me to come to a place where I understood that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity is not an it. It's a person. It's the God Himself came into my life in the person of the Holy Spirit. God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit not only marked me as His own, but enabled me to do something that I couldn't do before He came into my life. And we'll think about that in just a few moments. But what a wonderful thing to know that God the Father planned. I don't want to get this straight on earth. I need there to be a people that show my image and let the world know who I am, how much I love them and how I am merciful and how I am holy. But they need to know that there is a way that they can know me even better. And then Jesus came as the Son of God, and He paid the price on Calvary for our sins. And then He said, but it's better that I go back so that the Holy Spirit will come than if I stay here with you. And I thought, wow, what a statement. It's better to have the Holy Spirit in us than it is to have Christ with us, because the Holy Spirit can be in all of us, and He can do more than we can imagine and think. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. First of all, let's look at the Holy Spirit as the wind. And we see that in John 3, verses 5 through 8. Jesus is talking and He's saying to a man who wants to know more about who Jesus is, and he was very religious, and he says to me, listen to me. He is the power of God, number one, who can be seen in how He guides and empowers those who choose to follow Jesus. And the power, the guiding and the empowering and the following Jesus is so important, because John 3, 5 to 6 and 5 to 8 says, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of the water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Now, there are two things that just jumped out at me when I began to hear this for the first time. I began to understand that I was born physically, a water birth. But if I want to be born spiritually, I have to invite the Holy Spirit into my life to enable me to be born of God, to enable me to hear God, to enable me to do whatever God asks me to do and to be whoever God asks me to be. Then he says, you know, you really can't see the Spirit, but you can't see the wind, but you know it's there by what it does, by the trees, by the leaves, by everything that gives evidence that the wind is there. And some days it's quiet, gentle breeze, and some days it's a real storm. But that's like the Holy Spirit. He moves his people. He guides his people as they take him at his word, as they depend upon his Spirit to do everything that God asks them to do. And to know that you can walk out of darkness into light and you can begin to experience the presence and the power of God in your life as he uses you in the church, in ministry, in your neighborhood, at work, just to say, you know you think I'm different. But the reason I am different is because I am led by God's Spirit and I listen to his word in a personal way. And I'm trying to understand how others can see the benefits of a God-led life. And I've been at this for a long time. And I am so glad that God has given me this time in my life to be able to go around. And it says in Ephesians 3, verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, listen to what that says. It says, if you want to have Christ living in your heart through faith, you need to have the person and the power of the Holy Spirit to enable that to happen for you. Because when the Holy Spirit came into my life, God the Father came in, God the Son came in, and God the Holy Spirit came in. But the Holy Spirit is the presence and the power of God in the age in which we live. This is the age of his Spirit. So we don't have to be afraid to talk about him. And for some people, they can really get into this better than others. And that's okay. You know, for some of us, you know, until I learned that I could worship with my body, with my hands, because that's who I am. You know, I'm kind of a hyperactive kid. My mother used to go crazy. If we'd had Ritalin back when I was a kid, I would have been on it, because that's who I was, you know. But as God has settled me down and enabled me to become better at doing ministry, I've been able to say, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, if you desire that to happen, he brings you not only that certainty that you've been saved, but he gives you a gift or two or three. And then he empowers you to be a part of a very special body, the body of Christ on earth. And I think First Baptist Church in Medford is one of those places where they can use everybody who has been gifted to do their share and to find their place. And I know Tim would say amen to this. This is what it's about. And the more people that can get involved in doing whatever God has called them to do, to be a partner, to be a part of the team, the better the community will understand what it means that the Holy Spirit is like the wind. He moves these people. He moves these people. You know, I'm not a very religious guy, but I'm a very committed person to my relationship with the Lord. And I know that's not going to happen apart from the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I have begun to depend upon him every day. I prayed coming up here a lot that he would just fill me and use me, give me words to say. Because by nature, I'm a pretty shy guy. I don't know what God says. I want you to get this so that you can tell others. And I think that is a part of what God is doing right now. Now, he's the wind, but he's also the living water. And you know the story in John 4 of the Samaritan woman. Jesus was in Samaria. He goes to the well, and he asks the Samaritan woman for a drink. And she says, man, I should be giving you a drink. And then he says what? That he is the living water who refreshes and restores, number 7 in my outline. John 4:10. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, remember it's a gift, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I will give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, what I want you to do right now is to think spiritually. Because that's what we need to do. When we listen to God, we need to think spiritually. Now, I'm a physical being, and without water, I won't be around very long. I can go without food. I've gone on fast without food for a length of time for various reasons. But to go without water as a physical person, about 3 or 4 days, it's gonna get you. You just got to have that water. Now, as a spiritual being, I need to have the person and the power of the Holy Spirit as the living water that enables me to have the strength and the ability to go on. I can't say, okay, I'm going to go to church on Sunday, and I'm going to say, thank you, God, that you're here, that the Holy Spirit's here, and then I'll talk and think about you next Sunday. I need him every day of my life. And I have a personal, devotional that I go through on my app, and it's really been good for me. And yesterday was about believing in the Holy Spirit. And I think we need to do this in a personal and a private way. But we need to find a way that we can really think about this. You know, when I was in Israel and we went north to the mountains, and you could see the mountains, and the guy was telling us about the water that came out of the mountain that was living water, meaning it was pure. It wasn't like the Dead Sea that was sitting and nothing was getting out, and if you drank that, you would die. This living water that came out of the mountains was fresh and it was pure, and they were dependent upon that for life. So when he talked about living water, Jesus was saying, this is water that will give you life, not water that will kill you or hurt you in any way. You need to drink this water on a regular basis. John 7, verses 37 to 39. On the last day, and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive at Pentecost. When the Spirit came down, and he began to refresh them and to empower them and to give them that sense of God's presence, there was a whole new thing that happened. The people that were watching and wondering, they said, what just happened? Weren't these people just simple people from up north? And we hear them speaking the word of God in our language. We know that something special is going on here, and we need to talk to them and find out what is going on. So there's that sense of the living water. But there's something even more. You know, when I accepted Christ in 1968, I wasn't a bad person, but I had a hard heart. I had a selfish heart. Most of all, it was about me. And tell my wife, and she'll say, yeah, that's the way it was. You know, and I was just doing what I wanted to do and working hard, a lot of hours, managing a supermarket in Cedar Rapids, Iowa when I was 23. As a hard worker, and there was a time of really, you think racial things are tense now. You should have been there in the 60s. This was wild. I mean, I was managing a supermarket in the African-American section of Cedar Rapids, and I got calls. One lady called and said, is it true you have a machine gun on your roof? And I said, man, I hope not. I didn't put it there. You know, I didn't know what was going on. But those were really difficult times. But then I began to sense that there was something missing in my life. I was just dry inside, and I wasn't growing as a person at all. You know, I was getting into my late 20s, and I was still acting like a teenager, and I was playing too much, and I just didn't understand what it meant. Now I had a wife, and we had children, and I needed to be doing my part, and that's when I decided I needed to be a different person. But I began to pray that God would soften my heart, and he would enable me to experience some of the things that would make me a better husband and a better father, a better neighbor, a better person. And one of the scriptures that I found way back was Isaiah 44:3. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. You know, God is... The Holy Spirit is the wind, but he's also the living water that God pours out into our hearts. And what does he do? Romans 5:5. God pours the Holy Spirit's love. The Holy Spirit pours God's love into our heart. And we begin to soften and we begin to sense that we were created to bring honor to God. I was created to serve my wife and my children. And I am so glad I got that earlier. Because for about a year and a half, I did everything at the house. And I took care of my wife and our daughter. And I was so glad that I didn't have a bad spirit about that. It was just things God gave me to do. And he gave me other things as well. But that coming in and the fruit of the Spirit begins to take root. And pretty soon you find out what it means to be more like Jesus in his response to people. Now the last point is difficult. He's the wind. And you can watch him move God's people as they listen to him as he has moved you. He is the water that refreshes and restores our soul. And from time to time, I become dry. We all do. We're all still sinners in process. There are times when we need to say, God, I'm thirsty. Give me that living water again. Restore me and refresh me. And some of the songs we sang this morning talked about that. But then he says, you know, the Holy Spirit is also the fire of God that has come down from heaven to sanctify a people, to set them apart as his people, to take that which is not pleasing to God out and take that which is pleasing to God and put it in. But he, first of all, he has to cleanse us. And I'm going to give you quite a few verses and just hang in there with me. But as the fire, he is the fire that penetrates and separates and illuminates those who are waiting for Jesus. Now, let me kind of talk about that. You know, if you watch a fire take effect on a piece of wood, what happens? It penetrates it. It begins to separate some things out of it. And pretty soon it begins to illuminate if it's at the nighttime. Now, you can take a piece of wood and soak it in water, and it's a wet piece of wood. You take it out, you let it dry out, it's a dry piece of wood. You take a piece of wood and you let the wind blow it around, and pretty soon it stops and it's still a piece of wood. But you take a piece of wood and you burn it, there's a whole different effect upon it. Now, we, in a sense, need to be set apart and so that what is valuable to God is brought out and what is not valuable to God is burnt away. And that's the process of what the Bible calls sanctification. Luke 3:16. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And as I began to work that through in my life, and I still continue to do that, and the verse that was up here by that child this morning was so appropriate. It was so appropriate. Isn't the Holy Spirit good? Because 1 Peter 1:6-7, and we were in 1 Peter on the screen. In all this you greatly rejoice, though for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. Now, there's something very important about that. You know, in the ancient world, as in today, if you take something that has gold in it, a nugget, or you take something that has silver in it, you can refine it by burning away everything that brings out the gold and the silver. And if you use fire enough, it becomes a liquid and you can make valuable dishes or cups or things for the temple. And they did that all the time. So they knew that in order to get out that which is valuable, there's going to have to be fire. And what we talked about in that second time of when we were singing those songs, you know, you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. But they are sent by God to strengthen your faith and to take away that which is not allowing you to trust God more. And the older I get, the more I understand sanctification. I want to focus on the things that are pleasing to God so that when Jesus comes, we will hear words of praise and glory and honor as God says, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, you have learn the secret of becoming more like Jesus. Don't waste the difficult times. Those are precious times. There's a statement that I heard a number of years ago. Don't let your trials define you. Let them refine you. Because I think a lot of people think when I'm having trials, God must be mad at me. Maybe there isn't even a God who loves me. Maybe I'm not one of his children. And God says, no, this is one of those times I want you to trust me as you have never trusted me before, and it will strengthen your faith. And eventually it will take away that in your life, which it prevents you from getting closer to God. Proverbs 25:4, remove the dross, that which is worthless, from the silver, and a silversmith can produce a vessel. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we ought always to thank you, brothers and sisters loved by the Lord, because God has chosen you as the first fruits to be saved, set apart by the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. And I know Brian is a truth teller. You know, Brian is a great guy. And I've seen him grow in the last 12 years and his ability, I think, just to be who God wants him to be and maybe come down a little bit, because he was pretty tough when he came here 26, you know. And I couldn't get as close to him, but now we've become very close, and it's been good to see how he is being changed, how he is softening, but he's not backing away. And I saw last Sunday, I think it was, we talked about the changing culture here at First Baptist, and our culture has changed so much. I've never in my life, and I say this carefully, I have a hard time singing God Bless America, because I think God needs to bring America to her knees so that he can use her again. And he's done that before, and he may do it again. And when those difficulties come, we can just say, okay, this is God's time. We're going to show the people who are experiencing the pain that they don't understand how we handle it in a Christ-honoring way. And I know, you know, when they've taken away all the rules, you get a swamp. I like a river with banks. I want some rules that kind of keep me going, but a lot of people. And my son is a counselor. He is so busy. He said, Dad, we had lunch last Monday, and he says, I am booked for the next 3 to 4 months, and I have people, and I'm just referring them or doing something. People are getting so confused about what is right. And he says, I can tell them this is what's right, that they have to make the decision whether they want to believe or not. 1 Corinthians 2:13, this is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. And I love that. You ought to go back and read that 1 Corinthians passage, because it says if you want to understand the Scripture, before you read the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate you as to what it's saying. Because the Holy Spirit, it does penetrate. It does take away the dross or that which is worthless in our lives. But he also illuminates us to what God is saying to us, to me, in a personal way. And he wants to do that to you. I know you have heard and sung the old song, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that needs to be sung over and over again. We had a vacation Bible school in Mosinee this last week, and I went out there a few times and prayed with some of the people. And the gal who was kind of overseeing it came to me, I think it was on Thursday, and she says, we have a woman that has several boys that are just impossible. And she said, can I bring them? And they said, sure. Well, I should stay with them because I don't think you can handle them. So she's been there, and she said, I don't believe how good my kids are being. And I don't understand why you're loving on them. They're hard to love. And it began a conversation, and then the conversation will go forward as the people of God gave the Holy Spirit an opportunity to really let a woman see the love of God and experience it in a personal way. You know, my prayer is as I get an opportunity to share this message today and into the future, as God has given me opportunity, that we as the people of God will be able to communicate, be able to let the world around us understand what it means that we are the chosen people, and we are affected by His presence, and we are influenced by His power, because He is the wind of God that moves us. He is the living water that refreshes and restores us. And He is the fire of God that sets us apart, that sanctifies us, that helps us to be more like Jesus. You know, when I accepted Jesus in a conservative Baptist church in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and it was very legalistic. And I didn't go there. I told them, no, I'm not going there. I don't want to be known by what I don't do. I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. If there are things God wants me to walk away from, that will happen. And for me, like I said, I'm an alcoholic, and I've been dry for 47 years, and I could have a drink. I'm sure I could, but I don't want to. It's not because it makes me a better person. It just makes me a person that can be better at being a husband and a father and a child, because they've watched me all these years. I wouldn't walk away from that, because I know what that was back then. But also, I have become a person that has said, if you're not being changed from the inside out by the Holy Spirit, I'm not sure you're saved. I had a guy that came in and told me that. He said, don't you think I'm saved? And I said, yeah, I see no evidence of that. And he got mad out and he stormed out. But I think the Holy Spirit, because He'll come back. He'll come back. We have a guy in Mozambique that I met with just last week. I won't say even what he does, because some of you might know him. And he's living with a gal, and he says, where does it say in the Bible that I have to get married? And I says, well, there's, oh, no, no, I don't think that says you have to get married. Oh, no. I says, well, you read 1 Corinthians 7 for a week or two, and I'll come back and we'll talk. Because I think that really talks clearly that if you're going to be with a person, why don't you commit yourself to them until death do you part? And I'm anxious to hear what he has to say, because when I left, he was okay, but he's being convicted by the Holy Spirit. The world needs to see the evidence of His presence and His influence in our lives as we wait for the Lord's return. And I'm ready, but I hope He doesn't come today, because there's work that I need to do yet. But when it's time, when I go, above all else, I want to hear those words. Well done, good faithful servant. You allowed the Holy Spirit to guide and empower you to do ministry. You allowed the Holy Spirit to be your living water that you drink of often. You have allowed the Holy Spirit to refine you, to be that refiner's fire. I want you to think about that this week. Would you stand and we'll close in prayer? Father God, I know that Your Holy Spirit is here. And I know what we have talked about this morning has been heard by, I'm sure most, but maybe not by all. But I think all of us need to read them again and think about them again and to say, if I allowed God to change me, move me just a little bit recently, if I taken time on maybe a weekly basis at least, if not a daily basis, to say, Holy Spirit, convict me of any sin that I have committed, so that I may ask You to not only forgive me, but to cleanse me, so that I might be refreshed and restored. And if I allowed the Holy Spirit to convict me of something that is dross, is worthless, it is not pleasing in Your sight, and You want to take it away, so that I can be more pleasing to You, but also so that I can be more useful to You. I want that to be something that we all think about this week. Because I think You have so much for our First Baptist Church of Medford to do. And as the billing begins to go up, and as the people begin to ask questions, and you can say, this was something that God has asked us to do. The Holy Spirit was in this every step of the way. And it's going to be for the honor and the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Father, speak clearly through these people And if there's someone here today that doesn't understand what it means to have Christ as their Lord and Savior, help them to find someone that knows so that they can do that and make that happen. I that's the best thing I've ever done, and you have been good. And now, as we go, Father, may you bless and keep each and every one. May you empower them to do the work that you desire them to do this week. May you give them that sense of your presence and your peace. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.